Yeah, we got a quorum, we'll call a meeting together and we'll take up House Bill 211. And I'd like to call on Byron Malott. You know, the Alaska Federation of Native President. Right. Yeah. Would you please state your name for the record?
I'm Byron Malott, the President of the Alaska Federation of Natives. I'm not exactly sure, Mr. Chairman, how you'd like me to proceed. I do have a number of comments on House Bill 211. And there are a number of other issues that relate to that particular piece of legislation that I could comment on also.
Mr. Malott, I think we would like to get your stand from the Federation of Natives on the House Bill 211, if you have something on it.
The AFN hasn't formally taken a position on this particular piece of legislation. I guess I can admit to some surprise that this particular piece of legislation, in light of the totality of what's happening with D2 in Washington, would be pursued at this particular time. As I understand it, it speaks to the land use planning approach that Senator Revelle is proposing in legislation that he's in the process of drafting, and an idea that he's been pursuing for several years now. The reaction generally to which in the past has been decidedly negative. But I have a number of concerns about the legislation. I think that one major problem with the bill is that it doesn't speak to, you know, how policy will be developed to build a statewide planning system. You're creating a single statewide body without, you know, any local or regional or any kind of system to allow the kind of input that will make that system work. One of our concerns consistently has been is that, and one of our precepts is that planning probably works best if it does have significant local, regional input in a very formal kind of way. And I think that in that regard, this particular piece of legislation is lacking. I think it's important to note also, Mr. Chairman, that there's no question that the native landowners would be the most significantly impacted in the future when we start looking at just a general proposition of statewide land use planning. We're the largest single private landowners. There's no question that that's going to continue to be the case for a long time to come. And I think that any legislation needs to recognize that special circumstance, because we aren't like any other private landowner. You know, we own roughly 12% of the total landmass of the state, and we'll own, when our lands are conveyed to us, roughly one-third of the amount of land that the state itself will own. And I've got problems with Senator Gravel's bill and speaking to the appointment, for example, of a native by the governor and by the secretary if 80% of our lands are placed within the jurisdiction of this land use planning system. And to me, that smacks blackmail. I think that our participation ought to be voluntary, And that the special fact of native ownership needs to be recognized at the outset. The other concern we've got with the Gravel legislation, and I mention that because this seems to be a state piece of companion legislation, is his obvious use of both the carrot and the stick, writing into federal legislation some kind of study on the possibility of a statewide property tax. In private conversations with him, he's been candid with me that the reason that he's doing that is to put a little bit of a scare into the natives. That a study of a statewide property tax would be enough of negative encouragement to us to opt to place our lands within the tax-free status that is contemplated by the legislation. But getting back to recognition of our land ownership status, I think that if this bill is going to be pursued, that we would offer specific amendments to have a certain number of members of this commission be institutionalized by designating two or three seats for private landowners. Way that would make it certain that native landowners would be definitely a part of the policy and planning development contemplated by this particular legislation. As a general comment, we would be opposed to any legislation that wasn't based on a recognition of common interests in planning, that didn't provide for equal participation by all parties in land use planning, and it wasn't based on good faith and understanding, this business of writing legislation to somehow compel private landowners become part of the system, as opposed to the other, I think, much more positive approach through mutually beneficial agreements. I think is onerous to us to oppose that kind of approach. I discussed it with Senator Gravel in his federal legislation. He, at this point, at least, still thinks that we're going to need to be drag kicking and screaming into this kind of process, and so he still feels somewhat strongly about having those kinds of features in any legislation. I don't think that that's necessary because we do believe an AFN, for example, has been the only major institution that has joined private institution that has joined the state and the Land Use Planning Commission is calling for some kind of cooperative management system in any federal E2 legislation. And Mr. Chairman, I did, again, being sensitive to the concerns that prompt this kind of legislation, AFN did send a letter to Secretary Andrus about a month ago calling for the Secretary to begin the process of interim management on all federal lands in Alaska, and to use his good offices to urge the state to participate in that kind of planning process. And we pledge that the native landowners in Alaska would cooperate in every way that we could to work with him to begin the process of some kind of cooperative system of land management in Alaska. Those are general comments, Mr. Chairman, and I haven't singled out any particular feature of the legislation specifically, but would be willing to if I were asked.
Is there any questions from the committee or Mr. Mallon? Representative Snyder?
I'd be more than interested in hearing your specific amendments to the bill. I would point out, of course, it was introduced 211-77. It's well over a year old now, the actual bill itself. And it has, in my estimation, more to do with cooperative management than, say, specifically to the draft of the of Senator Gravel's bill.
Well, we would, for example, propose that a new subsection be added on the page one in section 41.415040, which would be a new subsection C, which would be essentially the three members of the, well, first we would change, we would amend to suggest that the number of commission members be expanded from 7 to 9, and would add a new subsection which would read essentially three members of the commission shall be private landowners or representatives of landowners and shall be appointed by the governor and serve his pleasure. Something to that effect, and that change would speak to the concern about participation by private landowners with significant acreage that I mentioned a little bit earlier. And Mr. Chairman, the bill that I've got a copy of has a page 3, line 13 and 14, a deletion after the word landowner, and I'm not sure whether that was someone's scribbling or whether it was an amendment that's already been acted upon, but I just mentioned that we think that deletion is a good idea also.
Would you repeat that, please?
On page,
I think it goes to the word.
We wouldn't have any particular problem with that. I might mention, Mr. Chairman, that in the D2 legislation that presently being acted upon in the House, H.R. 39, AFN has worked vigorously to include a land bank idea that has been approved by the subcommittee. We're able to count our ducks right, we're pretty certain that we're going to get it through the House. And there has not been any major opposition to that concept. Even the state administration, again, conceptually thinks that that's a good idea.
Yeah. Is there any questions, committee?
Chairman, I just wanted to emphasize the same thing that Representative Snyder did. I think you were maybe under the impression that this was companion legislation that was introduced by members of the House and Senator Gravel in concert, and that, you know, that wasn't the case. I think Senator Gravel perhaps saw it as a possible vehicle to accompany his But as Representative Snyder said, this was introduced over a year ago, and at that time we didn't even know that the senator had anything in mind. It was just an approach that seemed to kind of make sense at the time, but it, we didn't have anything federally in mind at the time.
We also have proposed amendments from Senator Stevens' office, Representative.
But it would seem to me that if, Mr. Chairman, that if Senator Gravel is to introduce his bill and to use this concept with federal appointments by the Secretary of the Interior, that the two bills would have to be conforming at some point. And I did read the transcript of a hearing that was held recently, I assume, and I'm not sure who the speaker was. I suspect it might have been Walt Parker talking about the idea of co-chairman as opposed to a single chairman. I think that the rationale that he proposed to that particular change, I think, is a good one. But I guess basically what we're saying is that, well, I'd like to back up if I could for a moment. The other feature that I think is intriguing in Senator Gravel's approach is the idea of folding in policy making for a number of other federal statutes that affect land use planning in Alaska, and bringing those acts within the jurisdiction of this land use commission, the Coastal Management Act, the Clean Air Act, water quality standards. I doubt that he's going to achieve that. There's a lot of blood and sweat and turf and building and territoriality that went into those pieces of federal legislation. If that were able to be accomplished, if an Alaskan commission could assume responsibility for policy making and implementation of those federal statutes, that regardless of whether we do anything or not, they're going to have very significant impact on Alaska, then I think that it bears a whole lot of looking at. As I said, I think that his chances of doing that are probably relatively slim.
Yeah, if I may, from the chair, Mr. Malott, I don't believe that the natives want to put their private land into this bank. Is that what you're...
The way the bill is written now, we would have problems with it. But as I said, if we're able to become part of an overall management and planning system based on good faith agreements voluntarily entered into, serve, you know, a particular owner's interest as hopefully as well as public interest, I don't think that there would be any major problems. I wouldn't want us to be, as the Gravel legislation does, essentially blackmailed into having to participate in order to achieve an exemption from property taxation. And in any event, we think the Congress is going to take care of us in that tax question in the D2 legislation in any event, either by an extension of the 20-year period or by a concept like the land bank or some other planning mechanism.
Do you have any questions? You want to continue on?
I'd just like to state that there are a number of things that natives are concerned with in their land ownership, both in their lands and on other public lands, we're seeking federal, and that is, you know, the continued protection and maintained viability of the opportunity for living the subsistence lifestyle for those people that so choose, both native and non-native. The other concern we've got is with the property taxation issue. And some people misunderstand that problem, thinking that, you know, we're landowners just like any other landowners. Congress never intended that, or Congress wouldn't have written the moratorium into the legislation when it passed, and Congress wouldn't be so quick to recognize it as a problem as it is now. And there's no question that Congress is going to deal with that, because with the instance of large land ownership, relatively small cash position, and relatively few numbers of people, there's just no question that any tax burden would result in those lands being ultimately lost to natives, and Congress never intended that. Lands that are developed, lands that are put to productive use, again, there's no question that we'll pay our way like anybody else.
Is there any questions from anyone? Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thank you. Mr. Moran. Yeah, we'll take a 4 or 5 minute recess.
City attorney there, he's calling about the cross. He's calling about the crosswind runway.
Oh.
Okay, and he wanted to talk to you about this. Can you talk to him?
And we'll call the meeting back to order and take up House Bill number 8-15, Chatterton. Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Chatterton, a representative from District 10. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the opportunity to be before you and your committee to testify in favor of House Bill 815. I, approximately not quite a week ago, we discussed the Title 31, Chapter 5, and mentioned